Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Cognitive Recalibration Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Shravan. We've got Taran sitting opposite me.
Hello. Second time this year.
Not this year.
Second time in a couple months.
In a while. Yeah. Today, we're going to be talking about Eternals, Marvel's Eternals. I guess it's a slightly divisive movie from initial reports. We thought we'd get a returning guest back on the podcast, Brian Sherlock.
Hey, hi.
Welcome back. I think last time you joined us, it was...
WandaVision.
That's right. Yeah. So you were really gunning for Eternals, so it's good to have you back. And We're very interested to hear thoughts on this movie. As usual, I'll go through a bit of the background on the movie. We'll talk a bit about the comic books because it's a comic book movie. And then we'll jump into our non-spoiler review.
No way.
Yeah, it is a comic book movie.
Jeez. Okay.
Yeah. Is that what you were surprised about or the non-spoiler?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. It was collective surprise.
And then we'll do full spoilers afterwards. Yeah. So if you haven't watched the movie yet, you can keep listening and we'll clearly signal when we're doing spoilers.
As I've been rallying for the past couple of weeks, I think we should do full spoilers first and then non-spoiler afterwards.
All right.
Yeah. I'm just going to say it every week until you say
until
yes.
Until we do it one day. All right, background on the movie. So it's directed by Chloe Zhao, Academy Award winner Chloe Zhao from this year. As preparation for watching Eternals, I actually watched Nomadland earlier.
Because I made you.
On your request, yeah, I watched it. I might not have watched it straight before watching Eternals, but I was planning to watch it at some stage. And you watched...
I watched Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the 2006 blockbuster.
Okay.
Starring Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
In preparation for this.
Yes.
Completely related.
Little known fact, it's also got Vince Vaughn.
Oh, does it?
Okay. Yeah. He's Brad Pitt's friend.
Like comedic relief in that movie?
He's comedic relief.
Should we talk about that? Yeah, we can. We can if you want. Yeah.
This takes me back to something. I realized recently that we have about 3 degrees from the Eternals movie cast. Our friend Anthony was an extra in World War Z, and Brad Pitt was in that, and Angelina's bed sometimes. So, yeah, we have a semi-direct connection to this movie.
Cool. I think that's probably the closest.
Wait, connection. So you know someone who was in World War Z?
Yeah, our friend from Anthony.
Yeah,
from primary school.
Yeah. So he was an extra in World War Z.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Was he a zombie?
No, he was a human. He was running, and he was like,
yep.
Maybe.
Did he meet Brad Pitt?
He was like in breathing distance of Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I should have watched that and Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Anyway, I thought just like drop that. I don't think it happens every day. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Like, my friend was telling me about, like, you should calculate how many handshakes you're away from the US president.
Yeah,
and I'm actually one handshake away because I know someone who worked in the Obama administration.
Okay, so, Obama, yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Me, yeah.
But yeah, we should calculate like how many handshakes are we away from someone who is in the MCU? So it's probably this is probably the closest. You're probably like an additional degree because you don't know him, so you'd have to go through us.
Similarly, you's actually my best friend. So,
oh, okay,
yeah, I guess I'm no handshakes away. Yeah.
All right. So back to Eternals. after that little sidetrack, so obviously it's based on Eternals by Jack Kirby. We'll get into the comic book stuff in a second. It's got a very big cast, so I'll read through all the cast members. It's got Gemma Chan as Cersei, Richard Madden as Icarus, Kumail Nanjiani as Kingo, Leah McHugh as Sprite, Brian Tyree Henry as Fastos, Lauren Ridloff as Makari, and Barry Keoghan as Droog, and Don Lee as Gilgamesh. And then obviously you've got Salma Hayek as Ajak and Angelina Jolie as Thena. And then you've also got Kit Harington as this guy called Dane. And we'll get into who he is. My favorite character in this movie is Harish Patel as Karun. Yeah. And we'll get into who that is. But, yeah, that's a pretty big cast. And I didn't just read out, like, every cast member in the movie. These are actually, like, the main characters in the movie. So it's 10 Eternals.
Yeah. It's a big cast for characters that have never been introduced before.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The only cast that's bigger, another Brad Pitt movie, Ocean's 11. Also should have watched this. It's got one extra member. Because it's Ocean's 11. This is 10. Yeah. Should have watched that in preparation for this.
Yes. Well, you should have watched like Ocean's 13 because you haven't seen that one yet.
I haven't seen 12 either.
Oh, okay.
Seriously? Yeah.
That was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of other reviews we want to do instead of this review at the moment.
Yeah. Everything's tangentially related. It's just,
Cinematography. I wanted to mention cinematography because I thought it was a little bit different in this movie compared to the rest of the MCU. It's by Ben Davis, and he's actually done other MCU movies. So he did Captain Marvel, and he also did Avengers Age of Ultron.
Not my favorite Avengers movie. Not my favorite MCU movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess, Avengers looks like all the other movies, but Captain this Marvel looks, looked a bit different, and this definitely
this looks
different.
Better than those two movies.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Like Chloe Zhao likes to use natural light and locations, and those most of those were green screen. So locations and all.
It's a beautiful looking movie.
Yeah.
So
looks
not as good as Dune, but still pretty good looking.
Haven't seen that one yet.
Not as good as Dune. Yeah. We reviewed Dune last week.
No, please. I'm still waiting.
No, we won't say anything. But
I'll spoil the ending for you right here.
To be honest, there's not that much you can spoil in Dune. But anyway, different movie again. Runtime is 157 minutes. I was going to start with a joke saying that it feels like it goes for an eternity because it's Eternals. Yeah. But it feels long, and it is long.
It's pretty long. Yeah. Finished later than I expected it would. Also, like I need to go to the toilet in every movie I see, and this just makes it very hard, you know?
Yeah.
Do you drink in there?
No, I don't drink. I just small bladder or something.
Yeah, like we had dinner beforehand. We had a friend who had a full large Coke and he didn't need to go to the bathroom afterwards.
No, he's got a tank, which we just don't have.
Camel bladder.
Yeah.
Budget, $200 million. So it's a
pretty standard.
Yeah, pretty big budget movie. Box office-wise, they're saying it's going to, well, so far it's done about $29 million. They're saying opening weekend, it might do around $90 million in the US.
Yeah.
And then overall, they're saying it might do about $200 million in the US.
Yes.
They haven't got estimates for worldwide yet because it hasn't come out in a lot of countries yet.
And a couple of countries have banned it.
Yeah.
Because of the gayness.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Just based off the critical response. And I got a little bit to say about that, actually, because people on social media have been suggesting that the critical response to this movie has some sort of sinister intent. Like, it's they're targeting this movie because, I don't know, it's more diverse or something. But I honestly don't think it's that. I honestly just think the movie isn't as good as it could have been. And that's why it's not doing as well critically. It's not like a Captain Marvel situation where they started review bombing it even before it came out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's more the audience score that you look at that gets ruined by review bombs rather than the critical score.
Rather than critical, yeah. I think the audience is pretty divided on this as well. Quickly talk about comic book background. So when do you think the Eternals debuted in the comics?
60s, you said, don't you?
Not too far off. What do you think?
So Kirby went to write for DC and then he came back and then he did the Eternals for Marvel. So it would have been after he worked for DC, which probably would have been 80s.
Again, you're not too far off. So it's actually in between both of you. So it was 1976 was the first issue of Eternals. It is by Jack Kirby, who's a specialist in these like cosmic comic stories.
Yeah, so he got pissed off at Marvel because they didn't give him enough to do. Went to work for DC, did some stuff at DC.
Didn't he do like New Gods or something, was it?
Yeah, well, talking about New Gods, that is essentially Eternals DC version.
Yeah.
So New Gods are the Eternals and then the Apocalypse people, which is what's his name? He's in Darkseid.
Darkseid
are the Deviants. So
yep.
Similar to this, yeah, you've got the Eternals and the Deviants.
That's kind of what I had about the comic book stuff. I did note down their abilities, but their abilities are just like...
And it's different to what it is in the comics to what it is in this as well. Like they've made changes. And
And also there's it's so just many like
they're
different...
super strong.
Yeah, it's like they're super strong. One can shoot lasers through his eyes. One can...
Fly.
Yeah. Fly, one can do
run fast.
Yeah. So it's it's that
stuff.
Technically, they all have those powers, but they can focus on one and amplify it. That was what I saw somewhere.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, they all have the same powers, but some of them are better at some of them than others. In the comics, not particularly in this movie, though. Yeah. What I was going to say in the comics, I had to confirm this yesterday because I wasn't sure if I was right. So Thanos is born to an Eternal, but he has deviant blood.
Yeah.
So he's both an Eternal and a deviant in the comics. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How does he... we'll get into
that. That's why he looks like a deviant, but he is born as an Eternal.
Well, it looks like an evolved deviant, like a highly evolved deviant.
Yeah. And that's essentially all I know about the Eternals in the comics. And I think that's all anyone really knows about them.
It's not exactly a very popular comic book or anything like that. So it is pretty obscure. I guess a parallel to this would probably be Guardians of the Galaxy because that wasn't that popular either.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. Yeah, but Guardians of the Galaxy, they introduced 4 new characters.
Yeah.
In this, they're introducing, as we said, the Ocean's 11 minus 1.
Okay, well, I guess we're kind of starting to talk about the movie, so we'll jump into positives and negatives. But before we do that, what's the story of this one?
You want me to describe it?
Yeah.
Why not? So there's Eternals, and I won't spoil anything, but they've been on Earth for a long time. They've been helping out humanity against the Deviants. This is all in the trailer, so I'm not spoiling anything. And, they thought they did the Deviants, but there's more Deviants.
Yeah. They keep deviating.
Yep.
Yeah.
But then there's twists and turns.
There's stuff that happens. All right.
That's probably as non-spoiler as we can get.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
It's you basically described a very generic superhero movie. So
there's bad guys and there's good guys and the bad guys fight the good guys.
Okay, positives and negatives. So we can start with your thoughts, actually.
These are mostly I read the non-spoilery positives. Like, I got brought another list.
The non-spoiler list is a lot bigger than the spoiler list, it looks like. Yeah.
Mine's actually the opposite. My spoiler list is...
I don't have a list.
What have we got here? Visuals. Chloe Zhao does the visuals very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's pretty much universal at the moment. It's like everyone's talking about the pictures, the pretty pictures and all that.
Yeah.
Cast, I had no issue with the cast at all. It's like there's always one person in that you just don't like. But like, no, these ones, they all work together pretty well. It's kind of spoilery. They finally showed Australia in the MCU.
Yeah.
That was actually a big shock for me. Because like, really?
Yeah.
Like, I never thought I would see that so soon.
I mean, the part of Australia that they show is like the most stereotypical part of Australia that they could have showed, but
very generic, but like they could have had a kangaroo in there somewhere. Cersei, she's one of my favorite MCU characters. And, like, she's probably the most easily recognizable Eternal out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... yeah, just the fact that it was a new group of heroes, because, like, you just get fed up with the reboots of Batman and all that, just, like, just something new to root for.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it's fresh. I get what you're saying about Batman. Like, how many Batmans do we really want to see?
56. Okay, so I'll cap it off. We've still got a while to go.
Still got quite a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with all of that. I think it's a pretty unique movie for the MCU.
Yeah, as I was telling you before, it's more like a superhero film than a movie.
Yeah, I think it wanted to be a superhero film. Yeah. Mm. I don't think it ended up succeeding, but I think it wanted to be a deep philosophical movie. But
just didn't hit the mark.
Yeah, and we'll get into the negatives. I agree that cinematography was also really, really good. The diverse representation of all the characters, I think that's probably one of the biggest pulling points for the movie. So there's someone we can probably all relate to in some way. Mm. But just because it does that, like, you still got to do something properly with the characters, and you still got to have, like, a proper story, which they kind of didn't. It's not like they didn't have a proper story. I think they just didn't tell it as well as they could have. I would say it's probably the most ambitious Marvel movie, apart from the team-up movies. It's probably one of the most ambitious, and it is a team-up movie, I guess, because there's so many characters. Mm. I think they swung pretty hard. They wanted to do something pretty different, but I think they probably the weight of that ambition probably weighed them down in the end, and they couldn't really execute what they wanted to do. We'll get into negatives in a second, but did you have any other positives?
I'll go straight from positives to negatives. So,
all right.
Easy flow on. What's that word to go from one thing to another?
Segue.
I'm gonna segue. Yeah, I think they definitely went for a big swing. Like, I wouldn't say it's when people say it's really different from other Marvel movies, I don't think it's that much different, but it does stray from the formula a little bit more than regular Marvel movies. But in the end, it still is a Marvel movie for the most part. It's got the comedy. It's got all that kind of stuff in it.
It's like a toned-down Marvel movie.
Yeah. It still has all the flavor for a normal Marvel movie, but they tried to make it a bit more spectacular.
Yeah.
But the main problem with it is just the amount they tried to stuff into this movie, which was too much to fit into the runtime that they had. Everything they try and do is interesting in a certain way, but you don't spend enough time with anything, plot points or any character to build it up to make any of the emotional points hit.
Yeah.
But I would say most of the stuff they do, it's like, this is great. If this was the plot for the whole movie, it would have been spectacular. Mm. But you had to put this, and this in. Yeah. So it weighs it down in the end. So that's the biggest problem with the movie, is it's trying to do too much with what it has.
Yeah, I think so as well. Yeah, and there's a lot of, like we said, there's a lot of characters, and each character has kind of their own motivations, and there's different dynamics between the characters. Like, some of them don't get along, some of them have relationships and all this stuff. And
most of the characters are quite interesting in themselves, but bar one, I found all of them interesting.
I feel like they are interesting.
Yeah.
But they're also, like, very, very much the same. Like, all of them are, like, they're from space. They live on Earth. They've been here for thousands of years. There wasn't that much different between them.
And I felt the chemistry between the characters wasn't as good as it could have been.
Yeah.
Given that they've known each other for like 5,000 years or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they do this thing in the movie where they have a non-linear storytelling method.
Yeah. I talked to you about this yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. And
just, it didn't flow well.
It didn't. It was too, especially in the second half, it was okay. In the first half, it was way too choppy. It was just backwards and forwards cuts. Yeah. And at times, you're like, why are we cutting backwards here? There's no reason for this.
Yeah, and just the timing of when they did, you meet certain characters when you, like, you're meant to know stuff about them and you meet them, but you haven't had this flashback yet. So you haven't seen what happened in the past yet. So you don't have the connection with them.
Yeah.
So I feel like they didn't need to do it in a non-linear way. Yeah. Like, I don't think it actually helped them to do it in that way.
Yeah, some of those scenes, they weren't necessary. Like, Hiroshima, they could have just conveyed that with some dialogue, and, it's all done. Like, script runtime gets cut down significantly, so.
They definitely could have done with less cuts, or done most of the present day stuff at the start, and then maybe one or two cuts instead of, like, eight.
Yeah.
Or they could, I was thinking back to Dark Knight Rises and Inception, like they just sort of make the flashbacks a bit more, make them flow a bit better, like just like quick memories, but you get a sense of what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, that's a, it's this non-linear storytelling. It's a Christopher Nolan special. Like he does it in all of his movies, essentially. And he does it better than anyone.
He does it well, yeah.
Yeah. So the thing with Batman Begins, they do it, they do it quite a bit in that movie. And it's easy to follow in that movie, I guess, because it's one character.
Yeah.
So you're just following one character's journey, whereas here they're kind of trying to connect 10 characters, and it doesn't really make sense the way they did it. A couple of actors that I wanted them to be in the movie more than they actually ended up being in the movie. Yeah. We can go to it more on spoilers, but if you're fans of certain actors and you're really looking forward to seeing them in an MCU movie, you might actually be pretty disappointed because some of them aren't.
They get enough screen time.
Not really in it that much. Yeah.
Well, I know the one particular one you're talking about the most, but I think that character could have been taken out of this movie completely and it wouldn't have made much of a difference.
Which one?
We'll get into it. So I know the one you're. It's actually not the one I'm talking about, one you're talking about, but we'll get into the spoilers. Everything will be cleared up in spoilers.
All right.
Just while we do spoilers first.
Gemma Chan, so she's basically the main character in this movie. I don't think it's her fault necessarily, but I thought her character, because she's meant to be the one you sort of relate to the most, was a bit bland.
I thought her character was the least interesting out of all the Eternals. Yeah. In my opinion.
I mean, did you feel the same or?
I might be opposite land here. It's like, I really had no issues with Cersei as a character. They wanted to get another female lead to it and to a movie and just like, she just brought something different. She wasn't Black Widow or Captain Marvel. She was something else. But yeah, they wanted to make her nuance or something. Some just a different kind of hero to begin with. So, plus she's supposed to be the most empathetic of the Eternals.
She's meant to be the most kind of connected to the humans.
So sort of like that final scene, she's like sort of makes a bit more sense that she's the one to do the thing.
She does spend. You do spend the most time with her in the movie.
Yeah,
I just wasn't that interested with her, unfortunately. I would have rather spent time with one of the other Eternals.
Her character's fine. Like, she likes Earth, obviously. But apart from that, she doesn't really have that much to her, I didn't think.
Mm.
And even her powers were a bit confusing. And we'll also get into that in spoilers. A parallel with this is, because I was thinking about other team-up movies in the MCU. Guardians of the Galaxy is one. The Avengers, obviously, are one. And they all focus on different characters at different points in time in those movies. And if you just take, and this is probably an unfair comparison, but like RDJ, for example, who's extremely charismatic, but every time he has an interaction with different characters, he plays off them in a different way. Like him talking to Captain America is different to him talking to Thor, for example. Yeah. You don't really get that in this. Like everyone just has the same interaction. Mm. Like, the way she talks to Icarus is the same as the way she talks to Sprite.
Yeah.
It's all the same. Like, So,
no versatility and personality. You know?
It could have helped if they worked out those dynamics a bit more. Just made it a bit more interesting. It was just a bit dull. That's just what I thought.
Just a random thought. Last week, you mentioned that Shang-Chi was the first Marvel movie about family.
Yeah.
During the week, I thought about it.
I thought we established that it wasn't.
Every single Marvel movie is about family. Every single one. If you think back to it, it's all daddy issues and like brother-sister problems and every single one's about family.
Doctor Strange, I sort of disagree with you on that one.
Except for Doctor Strange, But Shravan said Shang-Chi was the only family-centered movie in the MCU.
I guess Ant-Man, he's got his daughter.
Yeah, and then it's also Hank Pym and...
Yeah, Hank Pym and his daughter. Yeah. And then Avengers, they're all like a family. What about Captain America? He doesn't really have a...
He's got the brother dynamics.
Bucky. I guess they could be called a family.
Captain Marvel's got Maria and Monica.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so. Thor's got Loki.
Yep.
And Odin.
And his dad. Yep.
Anything else we've missed? Black Panther's...
Full on family. Yep.
Yeah, all about family.
Royal family.
I guess it makes sense. They're all family movies. Because it makes sense that they're under Disney because, that's their brand.
Yeah. And this is a random thought, but this is also a family movie, I guess, because they're all family.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, they well, they actually say they are a family.
Yes.
They literally say they're a family, but they feel less like a family in this
than they do in the other ones.
Yeah. Yep.
But if they cut it down to, I know it's easy for us to say this without, it's hard to make a movie, obviously, but if they cut it down to maybe 5 Eternals, would it be much better managed and easier to connect with all the characters? Yeah.
Because really there were probably only 5 that.
So the main ones in my head that they could have stuck with are Cersei, Icarus, Thena, Druig.
Ajak.
And Ajak, yeah.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah. The other ones kind of don't need to be there. Yeah. I do like the other ones still, and they were pretty good, but they probably weighed down the movie a little bit.
Yeah, and I think the way they cast the movie, like they are – I've seen other movies where these actors are charismatic. So I've seen Salma Hayek be charismatic. Yep. I've seen Angelina Jolie be charismatic.
But that just wasn't happening here.
In this one, I guess Salma Hayek was in what she was in. She was okay. But Angelina Jolie's, her character's not really.
Very disconnected.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they spent more time with the character, it could have been great. But you don't get enough time with her.
Yeah.
Anything else on non-spoilers?
This is non-spoilery, but it's pretty no secret there was a Bollywood scene in there.
It's in the trailer. Yeah,
they're talking about how it was a big thing and Nanjiani had a hard time performing it because he's not a dancer. But like, I've seen other Bollywood footage and like that was so much better than what I saw in Eternals the other night.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think the last comment I had was this is basically the story for this is actually not that complex when you think about it. It's not that complicated, but I think the way they told it made it feel like it was more complicated than it was.
So the baby before it's born.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was too many elements to the story.
Yeah.
But not complex element. Like, I understand the story. I understand what happened. It's not like it's Tenet or something where it's, like, super confusing.
Yeah.
And most of it makes sense. It's not like Batman v Superman where you're like, this is stupid. Like, why is this happening? It all makes sense. It's just...
Yeah.
None of it hits you. Yeah.
And it is a getting the band together movie. Yeah. It's like one of those...
Ocean's 11.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Well, when you think about it, Avengers Endgame was a getting the band together movie.
Yeah.
Except that movie...
The Beatles movie.
Yeah.
They're a band, they get together. Yeah.
Is that what... Is that a reference?
Is there a Beatles movie?
I don't think so.
Okay. Right. Just watch one of their live concerts. It's a getting the band together movie.
but the Avengers movies, or Endgame in particular, you had like 20 other movies.
Yeah. I don't think you can compare it to the Avengers movies because they all have had solo films prior to that.
Yeah.
Let's compare it to Justice League. And I think this is better than Justice League in the way it does it. But... Justice League, you don't have any of the characters have prior engagements before.
Except for Batman and Superman.
Prior to the movie.
And Wonder Woman, yeah.
And similar to that, like you don't spend enough time with each of the characters to kind of get enough time with it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of similar to that.
Oh, it's definitely better than...
But it is better than that.
It's definitely better than 2017 Justice League.
Mm. Yes.
Zack Snyder's Justice League.
But... Conversely, a movie that does it quite well, introducing a lot of new characters and they gel together is the new Suicide Squad, where they introduce a bunch of new characters that you've never met before and all the emotional stuff hits well and you connect with most of the characters. That movie is done better than this. So
And obviously
Guardians was only 4 characters, so it's easier to handle as well.
So it's Star-Lord, Gamora...
Groot.
Oh, 5 characters, sorry.
Groot, Rocket, Drax.
Groot and Rocket are kind of one character. Yeah.
Groot, Rocket, Drax. And I guess they introduce Nebula as well. And
Kind of, yeah. But that's like the villain. So you could say Nebula's like the deviants in this.
Yeah.
Same color.
part of their color. Well,
I guess she's adopted, so maybe not.
They're adopted, so they don't count. Yeah.
All right.
But in the end, they probably all don't count.
So, it's a getting the band together movie, but two hours of this 2.5-hour movie is getting the band together. And that when they get together, the stuff they do only goes for about...
15 minutes?
Yeah, not long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give... Some of the powers are shown pretty cool.
Yeah.
The speedster.
Makari.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her power, it's different to like the Quicksilver speed.
Yeah.
And they did that pretty well. It looked different. The Icarus was like the best looking Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not like buff. Like he's toned.
I think I think like the way his powers work is better than
Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dana's swords and stuff like that, they look cool. Yeah.
Lots of artwork.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else non-spoilers? We can jump into spoilers because I think we've got a bit to discuss. If you haven't seen the movie and you care about spoilers, I'll put the timestamps below for this point in the episode and you can come back and listen to our spoilers.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, so I wanted to, and generally when we have these like team up movies, we go through each character. So we could go do that instead of go through the whole movie. But firstly, we can talk about Kit Harington. So
this is the movie. This is the character that I think could be completely removed from the movie.
Yeah,
and would not make too much of a difference at all. Yeah,
yeah.
Because he comes. He's at the start, has a little love thing going with Cersei, then he does like a FaceTime in the middle somewhere, and then he's at the end.
Yeah.
Yep.
Essentially, and then he's got an after credit scene. So he's. Literally in the movie for that after credit scene because you couldn't just have this random guy just turn up in the after credit scene.
Yep.
So that's why he's in the movie.
He's in the movie to kind of foreshadow future things.
Yeah. I thought his dynamic with Cersei and Sprite
was weird.
I didn't understand it because does he know about the Eternals? Did they tell him about it?
Prior to the Deviants, he didn't know.
That's what I didn't get because he didn't seem...
He did seem overly surprised.
Surprised. He was like, he's
it sounded like he knew certain parts because he's like, oh, you're 5,000 years old.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sprite told me that you guys are.
And he knows about Icarus and all
yeah.
that.
Like, and he's like, are you guys witches? Yeah.
Yeah.
Although by that point, like the blip's already happened. So basically the whole world understands there's shit going on. So
I guess so. Yeah. I guess people are less surprised by stuff like that. Yeah.
But like, did that add anything to the story? The only thing is it makes – I think that the reason they put it in, first off, for the end credits, and to also make Cersei seem like she likes humans more.
Yes.
Because she's dating a human. Yeah. But you could have got it away with not having that.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
She teaches kids. She loves the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I got more that she likes – smartphones than she's
addicted as we all are. She's addicted to social media. Yeah it's a real, you know, it gives everyone a hit of dopamine when you look at your social media,
the TikToks,
and then it keeps you up. It's actually a drug, so she's basically on drugs.
Essentially. She likes the filters, like the she takes photos
and she should use that because the Russian servers get face app, the Russian servers get your banking information.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She probably doesn't have...
She doesn't have banking information.
Probably not. Do they eat?
Eternals.
Yeah, well, eat. They have
to eat. They do, don't they? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So can they, like, die from starvation?
Maybe can we talk about the whole overarching thing?
Yeah.
Before we get to the rest of the characters? Or do you want to do the rest of the characters first?
No, we'll do the overarching and then we'll go to characters,
So where it differs the most from the comics is these Eternals are like robots, essentially.
Yeah.
And so both the Deviants and the Eternals are tools of
Arashim.
That guy.
Red dude with three dots on his face.
Six. Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like the sixth side of the die.
Yeah.
Dice head. Dice head.
Yeah, he looks like a dice head. Yeah.
So when you first meet him, it's like this, you can't really see him. It just looks like a crater or something. Yeah. So when you first see, I think they did well with like the perspective
that,
of it.
They definitely made that, the Celestials, how they look, looks amazing.
Yeah.
They
look pretty like menacing, like just the size of this guy. Yeah. I thought they did that well, but like, his character, so technically he's the villain in this movie.
Mm.
So
they essentially, the Celestials put a little crystal in planets, and then the planet has to grow. But if the planet has to grow, they have to get rid of all the apex predators. So they send in the Deviants, kill all the apex predators. This is a bit of a shit plan, by the way.
Yeah.
So send in the Deviants to kill the apex predators, and like, oh shit, the Deviants are killing the humans now.
Yeah.
So you got to send in the Eternals to kill the Deviants,
and the Eternals can't evolve like the Deviants did.
They changed the manufacturing that they can't. There's no system updates.
Yeah.
It's just whatever you get is what you get.
Yeah, and this is all just literally the way you've explained it is the way they explain it in the movie. It's just exposition in the movie, and I thought, it's
a bit of a shit plan.
Yeah.
And also it's like this, that was another downfall of the movie. The plot's a bit it makes sense, but it's stupid.
Yeah. And you don't really, you can't really care about it that much. And I also thought the plan of getting the Eternals to Earth was to get rid of the Deviants. But why do they have the powers that they have? Why is Sprite like a kid? Like, why did he manufacture it like that?
Mm.
What benefit is that adding?
He might as well just made 10 Icaruses. Because if you're going to send people to kill things, why do you have the different? I guess I understand part of it. He needs the engineering dude so that the humanity can evolve.
And I guess you need the healing person to, like, in case they get injured.
They get injured, yep.
Icarus is, Icarus is just the strongest one, that's fine. The fast person.
Makari.
Maybe for travel.
Yeah, maybe to get around. But she can't carry anyone, so...
I think he just wanted to mix it up, you know? He didn't want to be... He wanted his creative juices to flow when he was making it.
The guy who could control minds, I guess that makes sense because you can make humans do stuff. But then again, they can't interfere in anything. Yep. So what's he going to do? Hmm. They literally tell them that they can't interfere with humans. So
what's his purpose then?
So that was a bit weird. And then, Sprite just confused me for many reasons. Like, firstly, her powers aren't that relevant. She doesn't really use them that much. It's basically like Loki powers. Like, she can turn herself
into visual manipulation.
Yeah. And she's a kid. Like, I don't understand why they did that. Like, what was his reasoning to make her a kid? And also, what was the reasoning for... I mean, I understand why they did it for the cast, like to get a diverse cast. So you can have like a kid, you can have someone that's deaf as well. Like it makes sense. Like for in terms of representation.
But why is she deaf?
Yeah.
Did she lose her hearing with the sonic boom? Is that what it was? It's not explained in the thing, but that's what it might be.
Well,
wasn't she always deaf? Like
she was
the beginning,
deaf, but she had the advantage that the booms didn't affect her when she was running. So
it might be because of that.
Yeah.
This is me. They don't explain it in the movie, but if I had to guess, it's so that she doesn't get affected by the sonic boom.
That was what they said.
Is that what they say?
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Prior to this, I kept thinking they took the Eternals from Earth beforehand, and they just picked randoms everywhere, and just like then they changed them. That was my theory before this started, but I sort of agree with you on that part.
Well, I guess that sort of makes sense because then she doesn't get impacted by a sonic boom, which makes sense. The kid does not make sense.
It's just like he was messing with her, basically.
That's basically the overarching
story. So the Celestial is going to come out of Earth and they need to stop him.
So we can talk about Ajax. I always thought it was Ajax, but it's Ajax.
Ajax is the guy in Deadpool 1.
Yeah.
Whenever I think of Ajax, it's Ajax spray and wipe.
The cleaning product. Yeah.
Salma Hayek. So this was a character I thought Salma Hayek and Angelina Jolie would be more of the main characters in this movie because they're the biggest names in this movie.
I knew that Richard Madden and Cersei would be the main characters.
But Ajak is also the leader, so yeah. I thought she'd be in it more. But they kill her before you even know her, essentially.
That was a big kick in the neck for me.
I think that the mistake they did was they killed her too early before they did enough flashbacks. They had like one flashback and then they kill her and you're like, oh, this chick's already dead. They should have had a few more flashbacks before they killed her so that you get to know her more.
Because obviously it's like, and they linger on it as well. Like her death is like a big deal.
Yeah.
And they linger on it for quite a bit of time.
But it comes in like the first half an hour.
Yeah.
It's too early.
We don't even know this person. We saw her once. Obviously she meant a lot to these people, but she doesn't mean anything to us at the moment. So I thought that they probably should have done that later for sure.
Yeah.
I was surprised that they killed her. I thought she would be in it more.
Well, interesting thing that she dies in the comics as well, but in the comics it's a different Eternal that kills her. Can you guess which one?
Cersei?
No.
Sprite?
No.
Thena?
No.
Festus?
No.
Is that in this movie?
Yeah. It's the only one that's kind of evil, other than Icarus.
Druig?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. He kills her.
So Druig is the evil Eternal in the movies. Okay. In the comics, sorry.
Well, he doesn't really get along with her in this one as well.
Which was more in line with the comics.
Yeah. But yeah, there's not that much to talk about Ajak because
she dies straight away.
She's not really in it. Apparently, she was an inspirational leader and you hear stuff about her and everyone like is devastated when they hear that she's dead. And they did that quite a bit. Like, I think they skipped it in the last one, the last person they meet. But every single person they meet, they're like, Ajak is dead. And then you get their reaction to it, like, every single time, which they probably didn't need to do each time. But we could talk about Angelina Jolie. So, I thought her character was really – Thena. I thought her character was really interesting.
Yeah.
It was interesting, but, they don't spend enough time with her.
So, the twist – there's two twists in the movie. So, one twist is that they were sent here – essentially, the whole mission was a lie. Like, what they were told was a lie. They were here for another purpose. And the other twist is that Icarus was on board with it the whole time.
That was probably my favorite. I was really happy. When I did that plot, Icarus coming out and all that, just like, I actually thought that was pretty well done. Because like, literally, I did not see that one coming. That's one of my positives for this.
Yeah. I knew one of the Eternals was the reason why Ajak died, but I thought it was Druig.
Okay.
They really portrayed him as the worst one, even in the ads and the ad in marketing.
Yeah. I'm like, maybe it's Thena or Druig, because Thena's like bipolar in this.
Yeah.
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 She's got some.
So essentially, every time they go out, they do this mission multiple times, and every time they go out, they reset their brains so that when they go out the next time, they don't know what they're doing. But the last time they reset Thena's brain, it didn't work properly.
Yeah.
So she still remembers stuff from the previous time. And that makes her crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
And she fights everyone.
And they don't really use that much. Like, I feel like they didn't really explain it that well. So I was like, why is she crazy like this? Like, it made sense in the end, but...
It did make...
And she was just like an unnecessary liability, like, most of the time.
She's kind of she was that OP character that they needed to
They did a Charles Xavier.
Yeah. They needed to make sure that she couldn't fight in all the fights because she would have ended them. Yeah. So they're like, oh, she's bipolar. Yeah.
And they kind of set up this interesting relationship between her and Icarus in one of the flashbacks where they're like, they have like mutual respect for each other. Like they're like, I enjoy fighting alongside you or something. I think they say that to each other. And that kind of sets up like they're probably equal in power.
But then Icarus suddenly gets overpowered. I thought Thena was equal power with Icarus throughout the whole movie because they say she's like the greatest warrior and everything.
So I thought there would be and we never got this, but I thought there'd be a fight between them.
There is a brief fight.
Yeah. And I thought the final fight would be between them because she's the only one that can actually probably defeat him.
Yeah.
But not, she ends up fighting that deviant instead.
Yeah. The boyfriend in the comics.
Oh, is it?
They were native kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll just leave
it. Oh, she kills him. Yeah.
She kills him in this one.
She slices him into like 50 pieces.
Yeah, and we were hearing someone else's thoughts just before, and he was saying that maybe that deviant character, they probably could have done a lot more with him because he was kind of turning into a pretty interesting character.
Definitely. Yeah.
And the
but once again, there was too much stuff to get through, so they couldn't do enough with him. Yeah.
And they kind of, we discussed yesterday, he's not for what Icarus is doing. So he's actually against what Icarus is doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he ends up fighting the Eternals anyway.
No, so we talked about it. He comes into the battle and he's fighting Icarus because he wants to stop Icarus.
Yeah.
But then the Eternals
attack him
because they don't want him to kill Icarus.
Yeah.
And then steal his powers.
Yeah.
Because then he would be invincible.
They needed the Unimind, all of them, to make their shit work.
Yeah, they could have done. If Icarus died, they still could have probably done it, except if Icarus died to the Deviant Dude and the Deviant Dude stole his powers, the Deviant Dude would have probably killed them all.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good opportunity because they kind of set up Cersei to be like this, the main savior, but I think it might have been a good opportunity to say that maybe they work together with the Deviant to because they're kind of almost on the same page. Like, they almost have the same objective, but they could have had him helping, and then that would make more sense.
It would have made sense,
Than what actually happened.
Yeah. I think they took the easy way out. Instead of more character development, they went less character development.
And it would have also been a good opportunity to get Thena to have...
She would have had to forgive him for killing Gilgamesh.
Than what she actually had.
Because she's like the warrior that just enjoys battle and killing.
Yeah.
So it would have been different for her to not kill someone. I thought that's the way they were going as well. Because there was a dialogue in the scene prior where she's talking to, can't remember who it was, but the person's like, revenge won't give you peace. And then she's
with Cersei.
Was it with Cersei? I can't, they're on the ship and they say, revenge won't give you peace. And she says, killing him might.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone says that to her. Is it Kingo? Someone says it.
I can't remember who. Yeah. And I thought, like, that would be her arc, is that revenge doesn't give her peace. But in the end, it just does. Yeah.
Gives her peace. Yeah. She's fine after that. Yeah. So I thought her character could have been.
Also, I thought they would have had to reset her brain. But I guess once the truth came out, she kind of fixed herself. But I really liked her character and I wish they did more with her. Mm. Hopefully in the coming movies.
Yeah.
There's going to be another one essentially at some point.
Yeah, and she's alive. She's one of the few characters that stays alive. So it's hopefully we get more of her. She was good. She was badass as well when she wanted to be.
We can talk about Brian Tyree Henry, his character.
Faistos.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
So I forgot that he was in the movie.
He goes missing for a long period of this movie.
Yeah, so he's at the start and then he comes just before the third act. So he's missing for most of the movie. He was good. Like, for what he was in, he was good.
He was one of the few characters that I'm like, yeah, that's probably enough time with him. I thought they did enough with him.
I guess.
He had good character development. Enough for that character.
Yeah. I was a bit confused, and we were discussing this before, and we're watching that guy talk about it. His motivations are pretty confusing because he's like, in Hiroshima, he's like, this is because of me. And then he hates humans.
Mm.
And then he has a family.
Mm.
But then when Cersei and Icarus turn up, he doesn't want to help them.
Yeah, so that part was confusing.
Yeah.
I think the justification was he doesn't want to leave his family no matter what.
But they're going to die.
They're going to die, so he probably should leave his family. So, yeah. But I think it's like it's a good combination of, he gave humanity all this stuff to try and better their civilization. They fucked him over. They built a bomb instead. And then he didn't believe in humanity, but then he meets someone and he falls in love and then he starts to believe again. I thought that character was fine.
And he's because I thought he was just a scientist, but he's also quite powerful because he's actually fighting Icarus at the end. So
he's making these little things come out of his wrists.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like Eternals Iron Man.
Yeah, I think he was fine.
He's probably, like if they kept him exactly the same, but they changed some of the other characters, it could have been a better movie still.
Druig, I actually liked his character. Yeah. I thought he had pretty good motivations for what he was doing, but he, again, disappears for half the movie. So you don't really see what he did, but you know that he didn't get along that much with Ajak, and he definitely didn't get along with Icarus. His dynamic with those two characters was interesting.
His motivations make sense, like humanity's killing themselves, so I should control them, and then we could have a better – it'll be better. And Ajak doesn't want them to interfere with anything, and he wants to interfere with stuff, which – and you understand his point of view, but then he disappears and you don't really see him for ages.
Yeah. I did like it when they go to meet him in, like – South America or
Amazon.
Something?
It's in the Amazon, yeah.
There was one scene with Angelina Jolie and a lizard.
I like that.
Yeah, what was with that?
She's like, got
she just has a lizard in her lap. I thought it was a cat first. I leaned over. I'm like, why does she have a cat in her lap?
She's made a friend. Just picked up an iguana.
And just patting it. Yeah.
And then there's some action sequences. The other thing I didn't mention is I thought the action in this was quite forgettable. Like,
I didn't like the Amazon action. I like the action scenes at the end when they're fighting Icarus. I thought they were all right.
Yeah, they were okay. Nothing like, maybe because we just watched Shang-Chi as well, and that had some really good action.
Yeah.
The action in this was just general superhero movie action. Like, there was nothing that special about
it. I liked the action scene at the end when Makari fights Icarus.
That was good. Yeah.
And the thing where the guy uses the rings to stop Icarus. That was cool.
Watching the trailer, I kept thinking, oh, is this a past scene where Phaistos has created the 10 rings that went to Wenwu?
Yeah.
I kept thinking
At one point, I'm like, when he's like, we're going to make rings, I'm like, is this going to be that? And I'm like, nah, it's not that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like there was a theory going around, Phaistos made the rings.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's not that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We can talk about him, Druig's relationship with
Makari. Yeah, that was nothing, hey. That was like two scenes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the movie, they even say, it's like, when did this happen? And I'm like, yeah, when did this happen? Yeah.
Well, to be honest, there was more foreshadowing of that than the relationship between Sprite and Icarus. Because that was completely out of left field. So, like, the only person that
knew that was Kingo.
Yeah. Was Kingo. So, like, obviously, none of the other guys knew it. We didn't know it as an audience. Like, it wasn't obvious to us.
I guess you never expect the kid to be into the big dude. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of foreshadowing for their relationship. Yeah. So it was fine. But they also like completely ditch her and just leave her in the ship for 5,000 years.
Did they leave her in the ship or did she just go back to the ship?
So she just went back on her own.
Yeah.
Because like she said, she was like, you tell me after a couple of 100 years of me waiting to go home, tell me it's all bullshit. Because I think that was...
I don't know how long she's been in the ship for. I think it's been a while.
Yeah, because she's read all those books.
And she's loading up on shit and all that.
So she must be really smart.
And she's not really surprised when they come in. It's like, oh, it's time to go home, is it? It's like, you've been waiting here for a while, haven't you?
Yeah. And she's a speedster as well. So doesn't it feel like normal time is like super slow for her?
Maybe, yeah. Not much to talk about her character. She's sidelined the most out of all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty disappointing because, like, given she's the first deaf superhero, they want to. It's all about seeing people you don't see every day in the films. Like, really, you did that to her? Because, like.
Yeah, they just. No character development. You don't learn much about her. The only thing is.
She likes to steal stuff.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Yeah.
Like, basically, she was the basis for Mercury and Hermes. So, like, he was a thief. So, like, yeah, that's that. But, yeah.
But, yeah, other than that, you don't get much from her. She steals some tablet, which has no relevance to anything in the end.
Yeah.
But she does have a cool fight scene with Icarus.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Who else do we have left? Kingo.
Gilgamesh.
Yeah, Gilgamesh. Gilgamesh. We should have probably talked about him with Athena. But, yeah,
Their stories are interlinked.
Yeah.
If they spent more time on Gilgamesh and Athena, when Gilgamesh dies, it would have hit much harder than it did in the end.
How many scenes does he have? Like five or something in the end? He's not in it that much.
Yeah.
He's obviously one of the strongest.
If not the strongest. Yeah.
Yeah. It was marketed that way.
I like it when he like slapped one of the deviants Sorry?
Like he's standing at the gates of Babylon. It's like he's getting he got the fist. I think I thought he was chewing gum. It's like 5,000 years ago, but yeah, okay.
He slaps one of the deviants. And then he has some good action sequences, I guess.
Mm.
But yeah, when he dies.
It could have been a good part. It could have been very good. Yeah. But it had to be more. They had to spend more time with Athena and Gilgamesh to make that work.
Yeah, he's not in it that much. He dies before they even meet some of the other characters, doesn't he?
He dies in the Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kingo.
Yeah. Also disappointing what they did with the character, because it looked like it was going to go somewhere good, where he's like, Kingo was like a follower of Icarus, and he's like, well, also they don't spend enough time with Kingo to, like, at one point he's like, I'll follow you to the end, to Icarus. I'm like, oh, are you close to this guy? Like, is this guy your best?
They never really established that they're that close.
Like- yeah, yeah. So I'm like, oh, it came out of left field. And then he gets completely sidelined at the end where he just disappears.
And just leaves. So, like, and it's funny because there's a lot of contradictions just within, like, 2 minutes of that scene. So he's like, I love this planet, but Icarus is right. So he's just going to leave. Isn't he even going to try? Like, at least
he doesn't even try. Yeah.
He's got the box office to think about.
And he's also got his, like, valet, who's a human. He's just a normal human.
Yeah.
And he's, like, completely fine with it. He's like, well, thanks for doing everything that you did.
Yeah.
But,
like, they haven't done anything.
Yeah, and he's going to die. Like, he's literally, he knows that he's going to die in a matter of days as well. Mm. And he seems to be on board with it, which was just weird. So, Kingo says, like, oh, I love this planet, but Icarus is right, and he leaves. And then the next scene, Thena's like, when you love something, you should protect it, which is a complete contradiction to what he just did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thena should have said that to Kingo. Yeah. She said it to Cersei, wrong person.
I did like that she gives, like, that motivational speech, and then she's like, I've already given this.
Oh, yeah. She's like, she just gives a motivational speech, and then the guy, what's his name? Fastos?
Yes.
Yeah, he comes in, and she's like, no, I've already done the speech. Yeah, Kingo disappointed because he was a good character, but does get sidelined
quite a bit. And there wasn't that many, like, there were jokes in this movie. There weren't that many jokes.
They didn't use Kumail to his full abilities. Yeah.
So it was, like, it was overall pretty serious. I think the other characters, there wasn't really any scope for them to do comedy.
I think Thena had a scope to do comedy because she's like this full serious character.
Yeah.
And went like that, I've already given the speech line.
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff could have been funny if they did more, or they're patting the iguana or whatever.
Yeah.
Just random shit with Thena would have worked well.
Yeah. Because the other characters, like Sprite, Cersei, Icarus, they're all pretty serious.
Yeah.
We can talk about Sprite next.
She has cool glasses. Mm-hmm. I like the glasses.
Yeah. At one stage, they're all wearing glasses because they're in Australia or something.
No, they were in Iraq.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Then where they parked the ship in that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, her character was pretty confusing for me. Like, I didn't really get why she was in the team, like what she wanted to do exactly. Yeah.
Although she was pretty close to the comic book. But, I mean, they changed the gender and all that. But, like, she was close to the comic book version. And, like, in one version, she was making them all forget and making them suffer and all that. Because they treat her like shit.
Because she's obviously lived with Cersei for some time, right?
At least like since the 40s or the 50s.
Yeah.
Like, but then she stabs her.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
She's fucking bitch.
Like.
And then Cersei saves her.
Yeah. Well, Cersei, like, we were just watching this video where this guy said exactly that. Like, she literally stabs her in the back.
Yeah.
And then two minutes later, Cersei's like, I'll fix that up for you.
Yeah, and then she gets exactly what she wants as well.
Yeah. I guess it's more just Cersei being closer to the character. She was a very forgiving person. And
But it's weird that she would stab her and then she would be okay with, like, accepting stuff from her, the next minute.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Orange is the New Black?
No, I haven't.
Okay, that's basically every episode of that, so it's there's a market for it.
Yeah,
it's like total fuck-ups every episode, so this is no surprise to me.
Yeah, I thought she was the most polarizing character in terms of she's one thing 1 minute, and then she's another thing the next minute. I didn't really care for it.
I think she was meant to be, like, a character that you kind of is like the child in the team. Like, you're meant to sort of feel for her, but I felt the opposite. Like, I really didn't care. She was the
Rocket. I'm just thinking back to Rocket and Guardians. Like, they all hang shit on him and all that. I mean, she's a new Rocket.
I think, she was meant to be that, maybe that sort of character where she kind of gives shit to everyone, but she's got a heart of gold in the end, but she doesn't.
She's got a phone instead.
And also, how does Cersei magically have these powers to make a human as well?
So they needed to use all the energy to kill the celestial, and, like, she had leftovers.
So that can make people into humans?
I think Cersei's powers, so she could change matter into other matter.
Yeah.
But
she says she can't change biological matter.
She says but anything then sentient, that she can't do it.
But yeah. Then she figures out that she can do it.
Yeah.
So okay. She turns her into organic matter.
But it doesn't seem like she can. I guess she can control
because
it.
Because she turns that thing into a tree. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, well, she couldn't control. She just did that randomly. She's like, yeah. She just kind of did that. But yeah. I guess she made.
They don't explain it that much, yeah. But that's essentially, she learns how to turn stuff into organic matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how she was able to turn the celestial, because the celestial was organic as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's able to turn it to a
is it
rock.
Ice or stone? I don't know.
It's like a rock or something. I think.
Is it?
Yeah. It's a new continent we stand on. So yeah. We're,
yeah.
Yeah. Real estate.
Hand of God.
We can talk about Cersei, or do you want to talk about Icarus and then Cersei?
I thought you wanted to talk about Caron.
Caron, he was funny.
He was funny. Yeah.
Did you find him funny?
I did.
Because we were thinking that because we're Indian, we found it funny, but it was actually funny.
It's like when they're in Brazil, Kingo wants to get that shot, the action shot, and like, did you get that? Because I did, sir.
And how many cameras did this guy bring? Because he's got a massive one, and then it gets smaller each time. Like every time they break it, it gets a smaller version of a camera.
I like him. He was a good character.
He was funny. Yeah.
He was good. I think the movie needed him, actually, because, you had Kumail Nanjiani, but he actually, this guy had more jokes than him. So.
Yeah.
Who do
Kumail,
we have left?
Kumail was like a Shah Rukh Khan in this movie. That's kind of how he's playing.
Apparently, he was modeled after Hrithik Roshan in terms of his
style.
He
wanted to use a bit of Errol Flynn comedy or screen charisma, whatever it was.
Well, I don't think he was around long enough to do any of that stuff, but yeah. Icarus. We'll talk about Icarus first. So I like Richard Madden.
Yeah.
I thought he was good. He's got good screen presence. Yep.
So these two are the characters I spend the most time with, Cersei and Icarus.
Yeah.
And I guess
there's more of them, less of an ensemble, and it probably could have worked better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they spent maybe more time with just these two, maybe it would have hit harder and then have the rest of them as side characters instead of trying to make them main characters. But yeah, he's all right.
I guess like one positive about the movie is because they got such a good cast, like every scene they have like some prominent character like featuring in it. Like there's something, if it's not this character, there's this character. Yeah. So like when Richard Madden's not there, at least you got like Angelina Jolie. So it was good in that sense. It's just, it would have been good if all the characters were also interesting, but it was good to have the actors in it at least.
I think all the characters were interesting though. It's just that you don't get enough time with them to make it count and make it hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just found them a bit dull overall. Maybe it's just the way they told the story as well. I just found them a bit dull. Yeah.
Just execution is the biggest problem for this movie.
Yeah. I think they had the right material there. They just didn't do it well. Yeah.
With the pieces in the wrong spots.
You know? Yeah.
Wish they didn't give away the IKEA joke in the trailer. Because there's not that many jokes in the movie, and that was actually a good one, but because we saw it in the trailer, it wasn't that good. Yeah, I guess his motivations, it was fine, I guess. Like, when they do the reveal, it was, I guess it was believable enough.
It wasn't too out of left field.
Yeah.
They didn't do what they did in Prometheus, pretty much.
What happened in Prometheus?
Oh, they just do not do foreshadowing well. It's like, you can see half the movie coming before it happens. So.
Was this with, what's his name, Michael Fassbender, how he's I watched that movie in the cinema and I...
Yeah, I was not big on it.
Never watched it again.
Yeah.
The turn for Icarus was fine.
It's all right.
Yeah.
That's not the biggest problem with the movie.
Anything else on Icarus? He flies into the sun.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah.
Very metaphorical, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's kind of bullshit, though.
I just found it interesting that the point where he broke was when he was going to kill Cersei. Like, which makes sense because they had the whole relationship stuff. But he also killed, he basically killed
Ajax.
And it seems like he really respected her and she was like a mother figure to him. Yeah. He killed her. So
I guess, but he was married to Cersei. So
they got married in India, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
I guess so. But he kind of already gave up so much. Like, he was willing to kill almost everyone.
Yeah.
So I guess it sort of makes sense. Like, she's probably the most important person in his life. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it made sense. So Cersei, like we said, she's the main character. Yeah. Would have liked it if she... So she's appointed the leader after Ajax dies.
And then after a while you realize, because Icarus killed Ajax.
Yeah, that's... Well, that's the reason she... Or else it probably would have been Icarus.
Yeah.
If he did kill her. She doesn't seem like... Even at the end, she's like pretty indecisive. I think she literally says after they did the whole thing that they did we do the right thing? Which is not the kind of indecisiveness you need in a leader. There were other people that were more decisive than her in the team. Yeah. Like probably Thena and...
Yeah.
Basically anyone else in the team, except maybe like Sprite.
Do you think it would have been more interesting if Icarus was appointed the leader and she had to take it off him? She had to be inspirational and then take it off him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show some leadership.
Yeah. 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 And then maybe they split into two teams.
Yeah.
And they fight each other. Yeah.
At no point did I feel like she was the leader. Like even when she was actually the leader.
Yeah.
She wasn't really.
Yeah.
That would have been more interesting. And it would have been better character development for her. Yeah, which is, I think, how it happens in the comics. I'm pretty sure as Icarus is appointed leader afterwards. And then maybe Cersei takes it off him. But Icarus isn't evil in the comics, I'm pretty sure.
Cersei's the one that gets the Mad Weary.
In the comic?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I also found it pretty funny when the volcano is erupting and the Celestial's coming out, they're like, Cersei, you go and do your thing. So Cersei's, her powers are not running fast or flying or anything like that. She's just, when it comes to transportation between places, she's literally a human. And this volcano is pretty far away and they're like, yeah, go do it. And she's just like running.
Should have gone to F-45.
So I thought they could have, helped her a little bit.
I think Makari was fighting Thingo, wasn't she? She was fighting Icarus.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I guess they didn't really have a choice, but
there was no one else could.
I just found it funny. She wasn't even running fast. She was like, she was really struggling.
Lumbering.
She was doing her best.
And then she does that thing with how she.
Matter. Shapeshifter.
Yeah, freezes or.
She throws it.
Yeah.
I think it's a rock.
I'm not sure.
It's a rock. Yeah.
It looked like stone. I don't know. I don't know what she did.
So she's on the plane. She says, I can turn a stone into this. I can turn a stone into that.
Yeah. 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 She did the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. When she does do it, so that's when the uni mind thing happens, right? My question is, does Kumail Nanjiani,
I was expecting to see like a line from like America coming over, like a long line.
Yeah.
Do you know when you look at those flights center maps and you see the flights?
Yeah.
Yeah, just one from ages away.
See one from India. Yeah. Oh, we didn't talk about Kingo, we did mention, but he just like bails on the third act.
Yeah. No, we did talk about
it. Was it just because... Because it really doesn't make sense, why he wouldn't be there.
I think he didn't want to fight Icarus.
Because he was like, they had a bromance or something, one side of bromance, I think.
But, you don't get a sense of why.
Yeah.
I
thought he would, even if he said he was going to go away, I thought he'd at least turn up.
I thought he would turn up, but he doesn't.
Yeah. I was bummed about that.
I was ready for a
redemption,
right? Like a Thor in Infinity War show up where he jumps off the plane or something, which would have been sick, but nothing. Yeah.
Like it's going out to Kerman. Did you get that? Yes, I did, sir.
Yeah. That would have been great.
That would have actually been good, but they didn't do it. It feels like maybe Kumail Nanjiani just couldn't make the shoot.
Yeah. potentially that could have been it. Yeah. It could have been like a COVID thing where he couldn't be there. Yeah.
They're just like, we just got to get this done. So let's just write him out of the third act.
He was there when he was taking Sprite to school and all that. And then he's.
Yeah. And then they're like all happy and stuff as well. I thought they'd.
It actually pissing me off now that they didn't. He did jump out of a plane and say, "Did you get that, Kumar?" It's pissing me off that they didn't do that.
It was such a good opportunity to do it as well because they set up the whole the comedic stuff with Kumar,
Karun. Yeah.
They set up that as well. It would have really worked if Karun was on a parachute with a.
Even if he's on the plane and then he's just on the phone, he's on the. It would have worked. It would have, And he's got his own plane as well. There's no reason why it wouldn't have worked.
Missed opportunity there. But, the movie ends.
But, we could talk about this bullshit all the time. I'm sure they have these ideas there. Yeah.
The only thing it's not budgetary reason why they wouldn't do it. The only reason I can think of is COVID. Literally that Kumail Nanjiani couldn't make it to the shoot.
Or they just didn't want him there. But yeah, it could be character stuff, but we don't learn enough about the character to see why it was. Yeah,
and the way that end scene happens where, like, he's taking her to school and stuff. Also, why is he taking her to school? Is she going to school?
They're best friends, aren't they?
They talk. Are they all friends? I don't know. There's, like, no character development there.
But it sounds like they hadn't met for, like, thousands of years. Yeah. So, are they really friends? I don't know.
They're meant to be best friends. But doesn't he say at one point, it's like, you were my best friend or something?
Yeah.
Does he say
maybe,
that?
Maybe,
yeah. He's also the only one that knows that she's into
Icarus. Into Icarus, so. Yeah.
That last scene, they're like all friends. So
yeah,
like it feels like maybe he should have actually, maybe he was actually meant to be there.
Yeah.
When they wrote that final scene, yeah, and then the movie ends with them being summoned by
Awisham.
Yeah, and they're taken away. They don't come back, do they?
No, they're taken away.
The next Cersei, Phaestos, and Kingo.
Yeah,
the others are surprised she's not in the Eternal anymore. So
she doesn't. Yeah, and then the other guys are in the ship. So they get summoned and then they're in big trouble. So
he's going to make some judgments.
So that they leave us with that. And then you see Kit Harington in the second time that you see him in the movie, at the end of the movie. And he's like, I've got a secret to tell you.
Yeah.
And before he can tell the secret,
she gets taken.
And then the movie ends on his face. And then there's two after credit scenes. So one is with Athena and
Macari and Drew.
Yeah. And someone turns up in their ship. It's Harry Styles.
Harry Styles. And he sings, "You don't know you're beautiful," to Angelina.
He says something like,
you're as beautiful as they say," or something. Yeah.
It would have actually made sense if he started singing that. So he's introduced. Firstly, there's this.
Do you know who plays that character? It's actually interesting. It's Peyton Oswald. So that the what's his name? The dwarf.
Pip.
Yep. Yes. He is a dwarf that had the space stone for a while, so he basically got some of its powers. He could teleport.
You can teleport. That's how they get to the.
And he's got links to the Guardians. And I'm forgetting, there's something upcoming that he's got links to. I think it's the Guardians. So he might team up with them.
I thought the CGI was a bit wonky on him.
It was. It definitely was. Yeah. Yeah.
Then you got to ask a question, like, they had Peter Dinklage play that dwarf in Infinity War. He's huge as.
This a different kind of dwarf. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so he's a dwarf, not a leprechaun.
Because he's not a leprechaun. No. He's not trying to find gold at the end of a rainbow.
And Harry Styles is Eros.
Yep.
Yes. So I also did research on this.
Brother of Thanos.
So, yeah. So like we said at the start, Thanos is an Eternal in the comics, but in this, they're robots. So I don't know how he could possibly be an Eternal. He must be something else.
Eros?
No, Thanos.
He's Titan.
Yes. So in the comics, so the Eternals live on Titan.
So they're from Titan in this instance as well. Or they're
robots. Right? Yeah. So it doesn't make sense in that.
Yeah.
Or maybe there was like a different batch of Eternals that they made to begin with and they settled on Titan.
Yeah.
But anyway, Eros is also known as
Star Fox,
like the guy in the N64 game.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
He's Thanos's brother, full brother. Yep. But why Thanos has deviant genes, which is why he looks like a deviant.
Yeah.
But he's he's just full Eternal genes.
Yeah.
So he's
they don't have that much in common.
Yes.
In looks and personality.
Yeah. But Eros's personality, it's basically Harry Styles in real life. He's a womanizer. One of his superpowers is he can stimulate the pleasure zone in people's heads. So he's very much a womanizer.
Okay.
And he's just strong.
So this happens because they're going to look for other Eternals.
Yep.
Yes, but he's like, you know, we should go help your mates out because they're about to die. And I didn't know this because they must have kept this under wraps super hard, but Harry Styles has signed on for 5 Marvel movies. Ah. So for 5 Marvel projects. So he could be a big part in the future. He's been in the Avengers before, so he could be in the Avengers. So Harry Styles coming in big.
So he made it big after Dunkirk, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, I saw an interview, Chloe Zhao.
Yeah.
She said she's had her eye on him since Dunkirk. I don't know in what way.
That sounds but a bit creepy.
Yeah, she had her eye on him.
She's also a big fan of Christopher Nolan.
But yeah, Harry Styles, probably one of the biggest signings to the MCU in a while. He's going to bring in a lot of people that probably wouldn't watch MCU stuff.
We'll scream in the theater.
That's
going to piss me off at some point.
Yeah, he's only acted in one movie, hasn't he? It's just Dunkirk.
Yeah.
Has he done other stuff? I think
it's just Dunkirk.
I think it's just Dunkirk.
Imagine going from One Direction to being in a Christopher Nolan movie.
And then a Marvel movie.
Five Marvel movies. Yeah.
It's doing all right.
Watermelon Sugar.
Makes all the difference.
Just going to keep naming Harry Styles stuff.
Is this from all your research or before that?
This was my research this morning that I did. It was just Harry Styles. I do know. I like Watermelon Sugar. It's a good song. Yeah. I've dabbled in One Direction back in the day.
I like the one when they go to space. I like that song.
One Direction, they go to space.
Huh?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, funny story, One Direction, they auditioned individually on X Factor and then they were put together as a team.
That was Nicole Scherzinger's idea.
Yeah, but then they all hate each other now.
it's that song.
Perfect?
No, it's a recent one. I'll find it.
A recent one? They broke up like 10 years ago.
No, it's like
man.
3 years ago. It's not when Zayn's not in it. It's after they...
It's post-Zayn.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they go into space. The people listening will know the one I'm talking about.
I don't think they will. I seriously doubt that.
They're like astronauts and they're like, yeah, they go into space. Yeah. Anyway, we're not here to talk about One Direction, One Direction songs. The last post-credit scene, which is probably... So the things I was most interested while watching this movie in the cinema, probably that post... Who is that voice in the post-credit scene?
Yeah.
And also the part where you said you really liked the voice of that lady who sings the song in June.
Yes. And it was completely silent. No one said anything in the cinema. I'm like, I like that lady's voice.
It was very audible across the whole theater.
She's like got the, that voice. Yeah.
Have you seen the trailer? June?
I've seen the trailers. Yeah. I'm just
Did you find out the lady?
No, she's probably just someone who works
behind
Zimmer.
I thought you had me the lady. I told you I like the lady's voice.
It's probably just someone in Hans Zimmer's.
The theme music in the trailer itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I know the one. No one
you know what? Yeah.
I don't know the lady, but I like the
You voice. Like it as well? Yeah. I'm not surprised. It's very nice.
Tribal sounds.
It's Black Knight. Kit Harington is not just a guy called Dane. He's related to someone in King Arthur's family.
Dane Whitman is his name. Yeah. And he's
descended from Black Knight.
The sword is called the Ebony Blade.
Yeah, Ebony Blade. Yeah, yep. Yeah, that's the one.
And it's handed down through generations in his family.
Yeah.
And
it's made
they
by
use
Merlin?
It yes, it's made by Merlin. Yeah. So they use it for, it can be used for good or evil. I got this wrong yesterday. You don't have to kill someone when you hold the blade. The blade gives you invulnerability to a certain extent, and it can cut through magical stuff, but it amplifies whoever you are. So if you kill people with it, it's a cursed blade. So if you kill people with it and you're kind of evil, it makes you more evil, and it destroys your soul every time you use it. It can kind of corrupt your mind. So there's a point in this movie where Cersei says you should make up with your uncle to Dane. At the very start.
There was something to do with an uncle.
Yeah. So his uncle
is
evil.
His uncle's an evil Black Knight.
Yes. Yeah. But at some point, he must have made up with his uncle, and his uncle gave him the blade.
Yeah. That makes sense. That's actually more interesting than...
What actually happened in the movie?
Yeah, it is. That little subplot.
Yep. But most importantly, the blade can kill vampires.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Well, apparently, it can get through a lot of stuff, like mystic... stuff as well, apparently.
Yeah. All sorts of shit.
Yeah, so we firstly, let's go through the array of characters that we thought were the voice of this person that says, don't do what you're doing. Or what does he say? Don't want to do that, Mr. Whitman.
Think about that. Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I think about that.
Are you sure about that, Mr. Whitman?
Yeah. So initially I thought it was Nick Fury. I think you
I wish
was-
you said don't. I wish. What did you say? Think about what you're doing. What did you say? Don't do that.
It's just like don't. I would do that if I were you.
I wish you said I like the lady's voice in the Dune trailer.
Just out of the blue.
Yeah, he's like, what the fuck?
And the sword's got like some weird liquidies.
It's got, yeah, it's like pulling towards him.
Yeah,
yeah.
But anyway, so I thought it was initially Nick Fury. I think you also thought it was Nick Fury.
I did.
Someone that we watched it with thought it was Doctor Strange. Could be. But I think since then it's actually...
been confirmed who it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. May I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blade.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mahershala Ali himself.
Mahershala.
Yeah. So it's his actually first...
on screen. Well he's not voice, on screen.
Voice
but,
appearance yeah. in the MCU.
And yeah, like I said... the blade can kill vampires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a team-up situation that might happen.
Yeah.
So is he going to be in the Blade movie?
I think so. Awesome. Yeah. I think that's – well, Kit Harington talked about it, and he said he's looking forward to the future.
Just in general.
Yeah. You know, he's like married to that chick in Game of Thrones. They got a kid together.
Yeah.
The kid's going to grow up, hopefully go to school.
Hopefully.
Maybe get to a good college.
We address this climate change issues.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Go all solar or whatever.
Yeah.
So
maybe he'll eventually do a movie that isn't rotten on Rotten Tomatoes. So, yeah.
Is that true? Has he not done a movie that's
fresh? I've only heard of two of his movies. One of them's Pompeii, which is apparently trash.
Yeah.
And this.
And this is currently rotten. So,
yeah.
So maybe one day he'll have a fresh movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
I think they will do a team up. It makes sense. Blade can kill vampires.
Yeah.
Blade hunts vampires, even though he is a vampire himself.
It's a half vampire, isn't he?
Half vampire.
He's a daywalker.
Dampier. That's the term for it.
And he's American.
Yes. Yeah. In the comics, Blade is British.
Yeah.
But in the 2000s,
Wesley Snipes
one, he was American.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And we were talking Dane about was, this for – sorry, go ahead.
Dane was originally American, so like –
they've done a switch.
Yeah.
Switch. Okay.
Yeah. Switcheroo. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Because we're talking about this in the Shang-Chi review, how Marvel is like very US-centric.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the characters are based in the US.
Yeah.
So it would be good to get some, even British, like, yeah, now we've got a British character, so that it's good.
Could lead to like Merlin stuff and, King Arthur stuff.
Yeah. So. Some other theories that I saw, like some people said that voice is Merlin. I'm like...
It could be, but
that would be.
It would have been very left field.
Yeah,
and like if it's Merlin, like why don't you just show it to us? Like why are you hiding it?
Like we wouldn't know who it is anyway. Like,
yeah,
this is old guy. Maybe unless they get the Merlin from the Merlin show, like the young Merlin.
Or the young Merlin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Just that same actor.
Yeah. Same guy. Yeah. Crossover.
And then it says the Eternals will return. So. Yeah. I've noticed in these Phase 4 movies that, except Black Widow, because she's not going to return.
Did it say Black Widow will not return at the end of Black Widow?
they have like a specific font for like the character. So like Eternals was in like the Eternals font.
Yeah.
And last week when we watched Shang-Chi, it was in the Ten Rings were in like a special font as well. Just something I noticed. Yeah, Eternals will return.
So, yeah, I've heard... mixed things about if they'll do an Eternals sequel. And if they do, they might not call it Eternals. They might call it something else.
Just put Suicide Squad on that.
Yeah.
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 Eternals.
Yeah. Yeah. That they'll like the Suicide Squad. Yeah.
Yeah, because I thought this one was actually called The Eternals. But
yeah, originally it was.
Yeah.
But then it just dropped the
Eternals. Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to see a sequel. I frankly didn't hate this movie. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I've seen much worse movies before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I didn't hate it either.
Yeah. But it obviously has its problems though,
Yeah. I would probably still give it a cognitive recalibration, but it's in terms of all the MCU movies that we've done, it is probably in the lower end of it.
I would say it's like if you've seen Thor the Dark World, it's probably that level. Like you don't expect anything better than that. Yeah.
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 And I got a sequel. It's got two sequels now. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also Thor is an established like Avengers character, so they were always going to do something with
it. They always said that Eternals was a risk.
Yeah.
I would like them to do more with this.
Yeah.
With these characters,
to be honest, I'm actually more interested in the Black Knight stuff than the Eternal stuff.
Yeah, the Black Knight with Blade combo could be interesting, and Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with Harry Styles.
What other songs that he gets out of this?
Yeah. Do you think they'll do a musical movie with him?
Oh, fuck off. A Marvel musical.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God. They're doing a musical in Hawkeye, so that's, yeah, you got your wish there.
Are they doing a musical episode in Hawkeye?
No, they
are. Oh, they've got the Steve Rogers musical. Yeah.
Although Jeremy Renner does sing, so, and so does Hailee Steinfeld. So.
She does, yeah. Maybe they're just going to, the next characters they're going to get into the Marvel Universe, Ariana Grande. She's next.
Justin Bieber.
Miley Cyrus. They're all coming.
She's already in there.
She's in Guardians 2 in a cameo, but they'll bring her back as a main character.
Yeah.
Who else? They're only going
John.
For Justin Timberlake. They're going for triple threats only.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Elton John's not really.
It's got to be an actor,
yeah.
Singer.
Dancer, singer. Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else?
Justin Timberlake. That's a, yeah. JT.
Okay.
Yeah. They're all joining the Marvel Universe now.
Kanye West.
I don't know if he can act. Maybe. Jamie Foxx. He's coming. Jamie Foxx is in it. Yeah.
He's in it.
I think I'm right on this route. They're kind of going the singer-songwriter route. And then they're going to put them all together and have a musical Avengers.
Yeah, that's the next Avengers movie.
Yeah.
A musical.
Can't wait till Ariana Grande gets cast.
They'll get Lin-Manuel Miranda to make it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And John Chu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen In the Heights?
No, not yet. I've seen Crazy Rich Asians, but that's the only thing I think I've seen. So, yeah.
Anything else on Eternals?
Yeah. I think it was – I went in with very low expectations that it was – kind of okay.
Yeah. I was expecting you to brutalize this.
Thought it was okay.
It wasn't that. Yeah. Like, it was, by Marvel standards, it was probably not up to their standards, but it still wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, it's not Justice League or any of those. DC have done worse movies before.
Yeah.
And Marvel have done worse movies before. Not MCU, but Marvel in general. Yeah.
No, it's not a bad movie. No. I wouldn't say it's a bad movie at all. It's just a.
I'm probably surprised at how low the Rotten Tomatoes is.
It's currently a 51 last I saw.
Yeah, it's probably like a 60, 70
it's probably
movie.
Probably a 60.
Yeah.
It's probably a 60. I would say it's on par with like an Incredible Hulk or I saw The Dark World. It's probably that.
It's no worse than those movies.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not better than them.
I wouldn't say so.
Yeah.
But is it better than Captain Marvel?
Let's get Kiriti on the phone.
Well, next year we've got quite a few Marvel movies. They actually pushed out some of them because they delayed a couple of movies.
Yeah, they pushed the Marvels out to 2023, so you're welcome. Black Panther. They had to shut down production because of Letitia Wright's injuries.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that may be pushed back as well. But Thor and Doctor Strange is still going to go ahead.
Doctor Strange is in
Multiverse of Madness.
March, is it?
It was coming in Feb, but I think they moved it
to June.
It's later, isn't it? May, maybe?
May sounds right.
Yeah.
No, you're right, actually. No. So Doctor Strange was in March, but they moved that to May.
Yeah.
Thor was in May, but they moved that to July.
Yep.
So it's Doctor. So our next one after Spider-Man No Way Home will be Doctor Strange, which will be in May.
But we've got the Hawkeye TV series coming up soon. Yeah. So.
Hawkeye and then Ms. Marvel as well.
Do we know why they pushed Ms. Marvel back?
Ms. Marvel or the Marvels?
Ms. Marvel.
Because from the sounds of things, they had everything ready.
Oh, I think it's just because they can't have two Marvel TV shows on at the same time.
And they prioritized, well, Hawkeye's a Christmas show, so I guess they had to.
Can't have them both going on at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, fair enough.
Yeah. But we'll probably get, I think after Hawkeye finishes, it will be Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then there's all these other stuff, Secret Invasion and
all that
other stuff.
That's getting a good cast for that one.
They cast Werewolf by Night the other week, which is going to be the Halloween special next year for Marvel.
I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't heard of the guy before. I've never seen him before.
Who is it?
Some Latino actor. I don't know who he is.
I think I saw a tweet for that. Mm. Oh, shit. I'll have a look at him up later or not, but yeah.
I'll get you his name while we wrap up.
Spider-Man No Way Home is the next movie that's coming out, so I'm quite looking forward to that one. We saw the trailer before this movie again.
Mm.
They probably don't need to release any more trailers for that movie, to be honest. I think I'll watch it anyway, so let's see what happens with that one.
Spider-Man gets people in the seats, pretty much.
What's your...
His name is Gael Garcia.
Ah, yep. No, yeah. I know that one. Yeah, I've seen a couple of things of him. He's not bad. He's a good actor.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Doctor Strange in that trailer? Do you think that's actually Doctor Strange?
I think it might be, yeah, same as in What If and all that. So, say it's a imposter, like doppelganger or whatever it is. You
know? Of Doctor Strange? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Because he wouldn't fuck up that big.
Yeah.
I think it's Mahershala Ali as Blade. And he's going to ask who sung that song in June.
He just turns up in that scene, like when Doctor Strange is doing his spells.
Yeah.
And that's why he stops up. Because
yeah.
He's like,
hey man, what's that June song, girl?
Okay. Well, yeah, we've got that coming up later. So next week we've got No Time to Die, Daniel Craig's last James Bond.
Mm-hmm. Swan song.
I heard it's pretty decent, so yeah. we'll be reviewing that next week. And then after that, we've got Last Night in Soho, which is Edgar Wright's
film. I heard that one, yeah.
And then we're into December by then, so we've got other stuff to talk about in December.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If people want to get in touch with us and talk to us about their thoughts on The Eternals, actually Eternals, not The Eternals, how do they go about it?
So we're on all platforms at Cognitive Recalibration, or you can contact us at CognitiveRecalibrationPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and if you want to support the podcast, you can do so via giving us a review on your podcast service. So if you listen to us on iTunes, if you give us a review on that, that makes us more discoverable on their search engine. Okay. Thanks, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for your... I know you were really looking forward to this movie.
I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5. Yeah.
3.5 out of 5. Okay. Yes, I'd probably still give it we have a binary system. So
you got a thing that I do not understand, so you just do what you want to do.
Cognitive recalibration, which is positive. So we recommend it. Yeah. Recommend you watch it at some stage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, thanks for joining us. And we'll see you in another episode, maybe in the new year sometime.
Yep.
Another Marvel. We'll get you on for another Marvel.
I'm happy to do Marvel.
Yeah. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Anything I think else? That's it.
Yeah. We'll just end on silence.
Just taper out.
Okay, thanks everyone for joining us. We'll see you in another episode next week. Hope you're all staying safe. See you later.
See ya.
Cheers.